This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, the media seems to be fanning the flames of Charlottesville, which may only serve to foster more violence. What is the way forward? We'll talk about that today with Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who has called upon the Department of Justice to launch an investigation into the acts of domestic terrorism there over the weekend. And we'll also be talking with my good friend, Pastor Dr. Ronnie Floyd. What can we do? We're going to talk about that. Push the pause button, turn our eyes elsewhere, and bring healing to the nation. We're going to talk about how we can do that later here on Washington Watch. Also, a new report out shows that despite all the dire predictions to the contrary, North Carolina's economy set records after the state passed the privacy provisions of HB 2. Why is that significant? Well, in the past few weeks, some of the nation's top businesses teamed up to kill Texas's privacy bill in a special session there. Now, how did they do it? Well, they claimed it would tank the state's economy like it did in North Carolina. So much for the truth from big business. Bradford Richardson, reporter for Washington Times. For the Washington Times, we'll be here for that discussion. TonyPerkins.com is the website. You can find out more information all there on the website. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. By the way, it is Thankful Thursday, despite all that's going on, all the challenges that we face as a nation, both externally and internally. It is Thankful Thursday. So we're going to take a deep breath a little later in the program, and I'm going to take your phone calls. And I want to hear what you are thankful for on this Thankful Thursday. Hey, in all things, give thanks, right? I think it's important that we keep equilibrium spiritually, emotionally, and even politically. And one of the ways we do that is not being so worked up and giving thanks. All right, we're going to do that a little later here on Washington Watch. So be ready. Be thinking, giving you advance notice. Today, we're going to be talking about what you are thankful for. All right, earlier today, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas called on the Department of Justice to launch an investigation into the acts of domestic terrorism that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, on Friday and Saturday. Now, he is calling on the Department of Justice to investigate James Alex Fields Jr., the alleged driver of the car that plowed through the counter-protesters in Charlottesville over the weekend. After Cruz's call, the Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the federal government opened an investigation into the tragic incident. Now, I do hope that they will look at this, and they will, I mean, it looks pretty obvious what took place there. But I think it's also important to look at all the connections. Who was the guy connected to? What was his motivations? And so on and so forth. Find out as much information as possible. And here's I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. It's very interesting to juxtapose how the media has responded to this incident versus the shooting of Congressman Steve Scalise. You remember that James Hotchkins, a Bernie Sanders supporter and volunteer, came to Washington with a hit list, and he shot Steve Scalise. In fact, I talked to Steve this morning. He's doing well, but he's got a long road ahead of him. And remember what the media did? And think about it for a moment. What did the media do after that shooting? They called for a de-escalation of the rhetoric. They called for civility. And let's not get carried away here. This heated rhetoric has led to this shooting, and we've got to stop that. To which I agreed. I mean, I believe we have become a very, very polarized nation. But we got to dial that back. And the media agreed with that after the shooting of Steve Scalise. why not the same message now? In fact, I've not heard one media outlet say that. It's all been, you know, they've been taking issue, parsing the president's words and wanting to assign motives to the president and to the people that, you know, weren't even associated with this guy. I think they could be taking advantage of this. Now, we clearly are a divided nation, a nation that is in crisis. You know, we're no longer talking to each other. We're screaming at one another. In many ways, we're like a married couple in crisis. And I've dealt with a lot of those domestic situations, both as a police officer and a pastor. And I prefer the route of restoring the relationship by saying, hey, folks, let's calm down a little bit. Let's take a break. You know, you don't ask a husband and wife who are arguing with each other, you know, what is it you just really don't like about him? I mean, you don't get them in the middle of a rage and get them more enraged. And I think our approach here should just be say, hey, let's stop. Let's just take a break. You know, that path of restoration is much more preferred than the one usually when you have to cart one of them off to jail. That rarely brings reconciliation. I think what we should have, I called for this earlier today, and I'm going to talk about this with Ronnie Floyd a little bit later, but I believe the president should call for a timeout and call for a day of prayer and reconciliation for America's healing. I think we just got to say pause, enough. We are not getting anywhere by this shouting match that's taking place between the left and the right, and that is being fueled by the media. We are bitterly divided, and the fissure is only getting deeper by the day. So I think when you look at the external threats to this nation, and they're real, North Korea is a significant threat. I mean, look what happened in Barcelona today. I mean, terrorism remains a threat. North Korea, China, Iran, these all remain threats to us. But I would suggest to you that the internal threat, you know, a house divided cannot stand. And I would say right now we are a divided nation. Now, some would scoff at the idea that a day of prayer would have any effect upon this. Well, let them scoff. Let them mock. You know, they can have a day of silence if they want. But this is how I see it. And this is quite clear in Scripture. That's why the first tablet of the Ten Commandments speak about our relationship with God. And until we get that right, we have a hard time loving our neighbor. That's why Jesus said, you know, what is the greatest commandment when he was asked? It is, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. See, we have to love God, and then we can love our neighbor. And as a nation, I believe it's the same way. We've got to stop and recognize our dependence upon God. And from that, maybe we can then begin having a civil conversation about how we can love one another in America again. Here's what's at risk, folks. We stand at a juncture as a nation where we may not have an opportunity to heal this divide again because there's been such an intense effort to purge religion, Christianity in particular, from the public space. And so we're losing that. And once that's gone, once that is, it's like the mortar that holds the bricks together. And again, I can go back. I'm not the first one to suggest anything like that. George Washington, in his farewell address, talked about religion and morality being pillars that held up our democracy. And he said, don't think you can have civility and morality without religion. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing it crumble, as we've seen now for several decades, this intense push, at least five decades of intentionally, going back to the early 60s, removing religion from the public square. And then we ask, why as a nation can we not get along? So my recommendation to folks that, you know, whether the government, whether the president issues a call, I think we need to. We need to pray for our nation. Turn off the TV, all right? And don't allow yourself to be enraged further by this. Rather pray. Pray that God would be merciful to our nation and bring about healing and not further division, because that will only lead, in my opinion, to irreparable damage to this republic of ours. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. It is Thankful Thursday. And supposed to be hearing from Ted Cruz. He's going to be calling in here in a moment. Here's what I'd like to do. I got a few minutes. I'm going to go ahead. And if there's something you're thankful for, I want to hear from you here on this Thankful Thursday. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Going to take a couple calls here and there. I'm thankful for a lot. I'm thankful that I can have this conversation with you. I'm thankful that there's hope for America, because God is still a God that can bring about a restoration, healing. I believe America can still experience a revival and a return to those principles upon which this nation was founded, but they're transcendent. And I believe we can return to that. If I did, then I wouldn't be here. I'd be wasting my time. I'd be doing something else. I think, folks, we still have a chance to see this country turned around. I think last November's election was a part of that. And I know that there are those fighting intently to take down this administration, but with it, they're going to take a lot more. So it's critical that we keep standing for truth, but speaking that truth in love. All right, let's go to Texas, where Damon is on the line. Damon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Doug, I'm just a first-time listener coming through. I've read some articles that you guys had, so I really appreciate what y'all do and the outreaches that you have, and just let y'all know that y'all are reaching far and wide. Today, I'm thankful that we do live where we're free. I served in the Navy for several years and didn't have a relationship with Christ, and recently gave my life to Christ, and I'm thankful for shows like this that do reach out and let us know that there is hope for this country.
Well, Damon, thank you, and thank you for your service to our country. As one veteran to another, thank you for your service. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in. All right. Hey, folks, hang on there. Denise, you hang on. We're up against a break, but we're going to come back here. Hold on, folks. Don't go anywhere. We got lots more Washington Watch on this Thankful Thursday. I'm thankful for you. I am. All right. You're listening to Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. By the way, you can check out the website. Earlier today, I was on Fox Business talking about this very subject. Scheduled to be back on Fox tonight talking about it as well. I think it's important. Our voice is out there. All right, we're coming back right after this. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What was the first thing Jesus did after being baptized? Can you guess? Immediately, Jesus began praying aloud to his Father. You can almost imagine heaven going silent to listen in on this public conversation between the Father and the Son. And it didn't stop there. Jesus continued to pray in public quite often. Perhaps he just wanted his disciples to catch a glimpse of the intimate conversation with God that prayer can be. Luke 11 tells us that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And that was something Jesus was only too happy to do. Grow in your walk with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along for the ride, or I guess I should say thanks for having me along on the ride home this Thursday afternoon. All right, still lots to come, but I want to work in a couple of phone calls because a couple of folks hanging on there. Thankful Thursday, so we're going to work these in through the course of the hour. Let's go to Illinois where Denise is on the line. Denise, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, welcome. Thank you so much for taking my call. A couple things I'm thankful for is, one, for conservative biblical radio, such as your program, where I know I can always turn it on, I can hear the news, and I can get it from God's perspective. And I'm also thankful for Nation Builders prayer calls. And I think these prayer calls have united the nation, as splintered as it seems in the natural. You know, these people get together on these prayer calls every day and pray for our nation and pray for our president. And I believe God has held back so many things because people have come together to lift up our nation and our president. And I keep thinking, let us not grow weary in doing good, for we will reap that reward if we don't give up. And so I just want to encourage people that, you know, it is bleak sometimes when we look in the natural and we see the things that are happening, but we serve a big God who's bigger than all of this, and he hears the cries, those faithful cries of his people, and I'm just thankful for that. I am so thankful for that, and thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, Denise, and thank you for reminding us of that. In fact, as you were speaking about that, about there's so many folks praying, and God is working and doing things, it reminded me of Elisha's conversation with his servant in 2 Kings, where the servant goes out early in the morning, looks around, and there's this whole host of the army around him, and he's frightened. He goes back in and tells Elisha, you know, I'm sure he was probably stuttering out of breath. And Elisha said, hey, don't worry. And he prayed and said, Lord, I pray that you'd open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. There was more for them than against them. And I think that is one of the things we find in prayer. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. And prayer is chief among them. Denise, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate that. Let's go to Kansas, where Mary is on the line. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I'd just like to repeat that, Tony, that we do appreciate everything you do. And we're thankful for your program and other programs like yours. And I would also like to think that we have a president that seems he does love the United States and I'm thankful we no longer have a president that hates us that we had for 8 years prior to that. And I'm thankful for the service people that are standing by to defend this country. But I'm also thankful for all the Christians all over the world, not just the United States, but everybody all over the world that wants to pray and have Jesus come back and love all of us, not just one nation, all of us.
Well, thank you, Mary. And I am thankful for a president who's willing to stand up. You know, he is not your typical politician. He's willing to stand up, and we need to stand up and defend what is right, and we need to go after what is wrong. And there is right and wrong. And it should still guide us as a nation today. Mary, thanks so much for the call. Folks, joining us now is the senator from the state of Texas, Ted Cruz. Ted, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, my friend, it's always a pleasure to join you.
We were talking earlier about your actions today, calling on the Department of Justice to launch an investigation into the acts of domestic terrorism in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Attorney General saying today that an investigation is, in fact, going to take place.
Right. Now that is a very encouraging sign. All of us were horrified by what we saw happen in Charlottesville by Nazis, the KKK, and white supremacists. Spewing bigotry and hatred and evil. And we saw a grotesque act of domestic terrorism as that young man drove his car into a crowd of people, murdering one young woman and injuring a number of others. I applaud the Department of Justice for doing the right thing, for investigating, and I hope for prosecuting it as domestic terrorism, because that's exactly what it was.
Well, and as I have said, of course, we experienced an act of domestic terrorism in our building here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
5 years ago this week. But as I have said, there's no room for violence like what we saw in Charlottesville or anywhere else for that matter,
right,
in a democracy. Let me just ask you this. Are you concerned that there are some in the media and on the left that are exploiting this to try to lump everybody who disagrees with him into,
sure,
this extremist category?
Of course. And it's entirely predictable that Democrats and the media will try to demagogue and to try to paint every Republican and every conservative as a crazy racist nut job like the Klan and the Nazis. It fits their political objectives, but there's a clear difference. Nazis are repulsive. They are evil. And I think all of us have an obligation to be clear and unequivocal on that front. The Klan is evil, bigoted haters, and they spread lies. Their objective is to rip the country apart. And I do not believe they will succeed. We are a stronger country than that. Our values are fundamentally different. As you know well, we're a country that was founded on the proposition that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That's who we are.
Yeah.
And we should stand together and make that absolutely clear.
Without question, there is no room for the advocating of violence or the engaging in violence in a republic like ours. It will not work. Ted, we're up against a break. I want to thank you for joining us. We'll continue to track this and monitor it, and hope to have you back on again soon.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
All right. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas calling on the Department of Justice to investigate what he calls this act of domestic terrorism. I would agree. It was designed to silence, intimidate people. We cannot have that. I don't care. Left, right, middle, does not matter. Violence does not mix with a democracy, a republic, a constitutional republic. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about big business teaming up with the LGBTQ activists, this witch's brew that spreading some stuff that's, well, frankly, not true. We're going to talk about that with Bradford Richardson with the Washington Times. We're going to take a look at North Carolina's booming economy. It's not sinking like some are claiming. We're going to talk about that when we return. Don't go away. There's more Washington Watch.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, this probably sounds like a ridiculous statement, mainly because it is. But, you know, the political atmosphere in Washington, D.C. and around the country should not be allowed to get in the way of the economic agenda. And I am concerned that we may be seeing death, destruction, and more dysfunction in Washington than ever, death being the death of a pro-growth agenda, and that is going to be of huge consequences to the future of the economy. We are seeing good things still in the underlying fundamentals of the economy. Obviously, the markets are the markets, and they're doing well, and that's wonderful, but more importantly, the underlying fundamentals are still looking like they're getting better. There is absolutely no reason why we should not be growing at least 3% GDP. And if we don't, it's only because there is no political will in Washington to see that happen. It's the only conclusion based on the underlying fundamentals that we can come up with. Federal Reserve basically saying she is uncertain as to why inflation has not gone up to the 2% mark. There seems to be some concern for raising rates. I think that is a mistake. It looks like the likelihood of any more rate hikes this year are slim. I think we need moderate rate hikes. 12.5-point rate hike would be good. That's an 1/8 of 1%, maybe in September and then again in December. But we need to stay on course with the stronger dollar.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right. When conservative lawmakers in North Carolina passed House Bill 2, a privacy bill that was a response to what happened in Charlotte, where basically the mayor put everyone's privacy at risk by throwing open all the bathrooms and so on and so forth under the penalty of law. Those on the left and some business leaders said that this was going to tank the state's economy. I mean, that was what we heard day in and day out. This was going to basically kill the economy. Boycotts. We had a few. There were a few concerts that canceled, and so the sky was falling. Well, now it turns out that was not the case. In fact, the North Carolina economy was setting records. Joining us now is Bradford Richardson. He's a reporter for the Washington Times. Bradford, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
I know you've been covering this story for about 2 years, so you've been tracking it. So you are probably not surprised by these numbers.
No, not at all. I think all economic indications over the last year or so, you know, that we've been able to measure since the passage of HB2, they've all pointed that to the fact that North Carolina's economy is absolutely booming. We have groups like Forbes and other respected business publications that have for a long time been saying that the boycott over HB2 really hasn't been effective.
Yeah, and not only has it not been effective, but we're seeing that according to these most recent studies, the economy is again setting records. The claims when people pose the question, why, I thought you guys said the economy was tanking. They said, well, it could have been better. We don't know how much better it could have been. But I mean, it looks pretty good. But what's interesting here, Bradford, is that we've seen these claims, which now are completely debunked, used by a number of prominent businesses in Texas to kill the recent privacy bill that was being advanced by the governor there.
Well, that's absolutely right. I know that a number of state legislators in Texas were concerned about the effect that the bathroom bill could have had on the Texas economy. But I think that there's a good reason to be suspicious about the effect of boycotts, especially those that are aimed at boycotting entire states. If you try to boycott a single company or, you know, pull advertisers from a show, maybe those boycotts might have an impact. But when you're talking about an economy like Texas or North Carolina, I mean, North Carolina was a $500 $6 billion annual economy, it's going to be much more difficult to register any sort of disturbance. And I think that another thing that contributes to sort of the lacklusterness of the boycott in North Carolina is businesses may talk about, you know, we have certain values, we disagree with this bill, but at the end of the day, they're mostly concerned with their bottom line. So I think legislatures in Texas would be wise to call the bluff of big business, as the example in North Carolina would indicate.
Well, I agree with you, Bradford, on that. I do think they should call their bluff. But I also wonder who is going to pull back the curtain on big business's hypocrisy. I mean, you see some of these companies, the same ones that were bullying North Carolina, doing the same thing in Texas, you know, PayPal, Coca-Cola, American Airlines, Dow, Hewlett-Packard. You know, and a lot of these organizations, businesses are doing business, or like Apple, for instance, doing, you know, basically sweatshops in China, doing business in places that have repressive laws that actually imprison and kill LGBT people. They, you know, they're on this, you know, the bandwagon of the environment, but yet they're in China, which is one of the worst polluters. So, I mean, does that matter? Is that going to catch up with them?
Well, I think it makes their message sort of ring hollow, right? If Apple is protesting the bathroom law in North Carolina, but doing business in parts of the world where, frankly, being homosexual is dangerous, where they're treated with violence and their lives are at risk, it certainly makes their message much more hollow, I would say. And it does sort of speak to the fact that these businesses really, no matter what they say, the bottom line is sort of the most important factor. So I think it should just give states more confidence that despite what businesses say, the record has shown that they really aren't willing to put their money where their mouths are at the end of the day.
All right, Bradford, thanks so much for joining us. Great to talk with you, and always like reading your pieces on this. Very thoughtful. Bradford Richardson's with Richardson, with the Washington Times. Thanks so much, Bradford.
Thanks for having me, Tokyo. Bye-bye.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I got that right. All right. When we come back, Dr. Ronnie Floyd's going to check in with us for just a few moments, and we're going to go to the phone lines and take your calls, resume our conversation about what you're thankful for on this thankful Thursday. You know, I think that there is a kind of a realignment taking place. I saw this not so much when I was in office. I think business was continue to be favorable toward the Republicans, Republican candidate office holders favorable to business because they, you know, they basically limited government, freedom, lower taxes. But what's happened in the last 15, probably last 5 to 10 years intently with great intensity, is that these businesses have been co-opted by the left, and they're seeking this very radical social agenda. And this is dividing them with their from their natural alignment with Republicans. Not sure where that's going to lead. I do know this, though. We're going to go to this break, and then we're going to come back with more Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
Many in America seem to have forgotten that its foundation was built on God. In this 40th year celebration of the American Family Association, we invite you to help us remind America once again of the truth behind our national motto, In God We Trust. You can do your part and display your faith with an In God We Trust car decal from the AFA store. Order yours today with free shipping at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tawny Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Website, tonyperkins.com. Hey, check out the website coming up in April of this next year. We'll be going to Israel on our second tour with our friends and supporters. To find out more how you can join us, April the 17th through the 27th. Great, great time. We'll have Michelle Bachman, General Boykin, former Ambassador Ken Blackwell. Great lineup. We're going to see a lot of folks. Joel Rosenberg, New York Times bestselling author, is going to be a part of the tour as well. Find out more, go to tonyperkins.com. All right, as I was talking about early in the program, and folks, hang on there. I am going to come to the phone lines here in just a moment, okay? So don't go anywhere. Gene, hang on. You're going to be next. As I was talking about at the top of the program, I believe that what has to happen now is that we, as a nation, we are so bitterly divided that we're no longer talking at each other. We're just screaming at one another, and we need to push the pause button. I believe we need to have a day of prayer and reconciliation and just allow our spirits to be calmed by the presence of God and look upward so that we can look outward appropriately. And I want to talk about this for just a moment, and I could not think of anyone better to talk with about this than my good friend and frequent host here, guest host, Dr. Ronnie Floyd. Ronnie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's great to talk with you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I've said it on the air, but I want to thank you for filling in for me while I was out a week ago, and appreciate you doing that. But I also, the reason I want to have you come on for just a moment here today is because I know your heart is for prayer, and we've often talked about this, but we're really at a point in this nation where we need God.
Absolutely. No question about it, Tony. I'll tell you what, we're in trouble. And I don't really think it matters certain things that we're doing now in our country, good or bad, whoever's leading, whoever's not leading, whoever's trying to lead or not trying to lead. This is a time that all of us who are people of faith need to lead the way in calling forth for this country to fall on our faces and to ask God to intervene and to bring us together for His glory. It's so important that we do this.
I mean, I've never seen it wound this tight in terms of the tension in this nation. And of course, we're talking about the internal issues, but there's the external. I was talking about this earlier. We got North Korea. I mean, that is so close to some form of confrontation. we've got Iran, we've got, the whole kettle in the Middle East. We've got, there's just anywhere you point a finger, you got a problem. And sure. I think the only way to solve this is one, I don't think we can ever have peace with our neighbor until we have peace with God. And I believe that applies to nations. I think if we truly want America to be united again, I think as a nation, and I'm not saying everybody's got to be a Christian because that's not going to happen, but I do think as a nation we need to respect and recognize, just as our currency says, in God we trust. I believe we just need to pause and look to Him.
Absolutely. I agree completely. You know, it comes back to what the book of Chronicles says. You remember when Jehoshaphat and the people were surrounded by the enemies, and it looked completely hopeless. And what was the message that the Spirit of God gave at that moment was, we do not know what to do, mm-hmm. but our eyes nice. Are on you.
Yes.
And there are moments this happens. You know, President Lincoln had that moment in 1863 where the nation was in major disarray, major trouble. He called for a day of prayer. We need so desperately to pray as a country and really just to reach a point where, Tony, that we know that we don't have all the solutions.
Right.
I mean, it's not about whether you're Democrat or Republican, or there's just some issues a lot deeper than all that. I mean, what's deeper than all that is one thing, and that is that we need God. I mean, we need God. And this is a time that is so evident around us. It is evidence beyond anything I've ever seen of showing the lawlessness, showing the rebellion, the revolts, the hatred, the vitriol, the speech. I mean, my goodness, I mean... Let's just be proper to one another. But I mean, we need something to happen in this country that brings us together. And part of that is going to happen when we really reach the point to know that only God can do this in our country.
No question about it. That is the only way forward. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us today.
Thank you, Tony. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, you know, there's been times in our nation's past, going back to the very beginning, where we have had differences. I mean, people have always had differences. I mean, we're all created different. We have different opinions, different views, different motivations. But we've been able, for the most part, now I'm not saying the past has been perfect, clearly hasn't. I mean, we had a civil war. But for the most part, how this nation has survived for over 240 years is that we've learned to get along because we've respected one another. We're losing respect. I don't agree with people on the left, but I don't hate them. I don't think they should be silenced. I think they have every right to speak. And we should have public discourse. We should have, you know, debates, if you will, civil debates. That's normal. That is, a debate doesn't mean you yell and scream. It means that you thoughtfully go through and you present the facts, and you make your case. I mean, that's how people get along. That's how people reach consensus. But what we've seen increasingly in this country is we've seen those primarily on the left that do not want that discussion. And I think it's because their views and their positions really cannot be defended. Now, I think they should have a right to try, and I invite them to do that. But instead of engaging in that public discussion, they want to shut down, marginalize, and silence anyone who disagrees with them. And that repression leads to problems on either side. So we need to have that ongoing, civil conversation. All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines here and wrap up for the remainder of the show. We're going to talk about what you're thankful for on this Thankful Thursday. And as promised, we're going to Ohio, where Gene has been patiently waiting. Gene, welcome to Washington Watch. Gene,
hello.
Are you there?
This is Gene from Ohio.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I wanted to say how much I love and support Tony Perkins and FRC, how much I love and support Tim Wildman and American Family Radio. I love Ted Cruz, but I don't agree with him on this. I would like to ask him if he asked the Justice Department to investigate Black Lives Matters, which I think is a terrorist organization. I don't agree with taking down Confederate statues. That's a part of our history, especially of Robert E. Lee, you know, and the people who were protesting taking down the statue had a permit. The anti-protesters had no permit. And I blame the governor of Virginia. He knew violence was coming. He should have had the police put up barriers and call in the National Guard. He did neither. So I think he has to take part of the blame for this. You know?
Well, I appreciate it, Gene. Thank you for your call and expressing your appreciation to AFA and FRC. We appreciate that. And your point taken. And by the way, Gene was calling from Ohio. That's north of the Mason-Dixon line. Look, I understand the feelings that have been expressed about these statues, given the inflamed rhetoric that's been swirling around. But tearing down statues and inciting violence is not the way forward. Okay, that's where I think now is not the time to have a discussion about this. Now is the time to say, wait a minute, let's just let everybody calm down. And then we'll have the conversation. I agree that, you know, trying to tear down statues and, you know, eradicate our history, you know, what's that about? I mean, what is that going to accomplish? Now, again, I understand there may be some feelings about this, and we should have the conversation about that. But going in and tearing down these statues, you know, at night and violating the law and inciting violence on either side is not the way forward. It's not. Gene, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Mary Jo in Texas. Mary Jo, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to tell you that I'm very thankful for you, Mr. Perkins, and Mr. Floyd, because you do have a heart for prayer. And I do believe that there is nothing that is going to cure this country until the Christians get on their knees and divorce themselves from the political agenda and make their spiritual agenda the top priority.
And I think what we've seen in the last year, when Christians have prayed, God has answered. And he has spared us to this point. But again, our eyes should not be upon a man, should not be upon a political party, a political movement, or a political agenda. Now, everything plays out in various arenas, and certainly politics is a part of life. But that's not where our hope is. And Mary Jo's absolutely right. Our top priority has to be seeking God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And it does start individually. And who knows? But a movement, an awakening, a revival could take place. Mary Jo, thanks so much for the call. Going to work another call here from Georgia. Robert is on the line. Robert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hoorah, Marine. How are you doing this afternoon?
Semper Fi. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
All right. What I'm thankful for is President Trump. And I'm praying for him every day. He took a stand, and as you say, it's, you know, hope he stands firm. But I'm praying that the Spirit would provide him guidance when he's facing these frustrations from a lack of support within the parties whether it's Democratic or Republican, on what he's trying to move forward with, that, you know, the Spirit guide him on how to channel that frustration into producing results and increasing his effectiveness.
It amazes me, Robert, that you know, after all of the opposition that he has faced in the first 7-8 months in office, and in intense opposition, that he remains resolute. He is not backing down. He is standing firm. Now, I'm impressed by that. I'm encouraged by that. But I do know, and he knows, a lot of people are praying for him, and we need to continue to pray for him. But, you know, folks, here's one thing. Hear me today when I say this, and I go back to my conversation with Dr. Floyd. Let's say the nation doesn't do it. Let's say the president doesn't call for a day of prayer and reconciliation. All right, that's fine. Maybe he doesn't do it. I'm hopeful he will. I've had those conversations. I think he will. I'm hopeful that he will. I've been talking to a number of people today about this. But let's individually seek the face of God on behalf of our country. And let's dial back, even internally. All right, I know a lot of people I've talked to, they're all worked up. And it's right to be worked up to a degree, but look, people are not our enemy. Yes, a lot's at stake, and I believe passionately about the things I believe in, and I'm going to stand for those things, and I challenge you to stand for those. But we stand for a purpose. We stand for the truth, not to win an argument about that truth, not to, to defeat our opponent, but rather we stand for that truth so others might come to know that truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The reason we stand for that truth and we defend that truth and we speak that truth and we live that truth are so that others might come to know it. And life is found, eternal life, abundant life, is found in Jesus Christ. We should never shrink back from that. We should never grow silent about that. But we should never forget that. That's why we're here. That's ultimately why we speak. And so our mission, our goal, our focus should be on those that, yes, they may oppose us politically, and we can debate them in that political arena, but our hearts still must be filled with love for them, with a desire that they would come to the freedom and the purpose that is discovered in that truth. That's why we speak. May we never, ever forget that. All right, folks, you know what that music means. It means I'm going home. All right. Hey, by the way, I'll be on Fox News later this evening with Martha McCallum. Check that out. I'll be talking about this topic this evening. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.